through all this. I've got something in my throat. I don't know what it is, but y'all just pray for me and we'll get through it all. It's good to see you here today. Hope everybody's had a good week. Just a couple of things that I want to touch on. We're going to have a men's brotherhood breakfast on Saturday. I would encourage you to come if you could. It's a good time, and we guys just like to get together and we have good food. We really do. So remember that. Our Annie Armstrong offering looks like we're still a little bit short, but and I think it ends today. Is that right, Dennis? So think about it. Whatever you can do today will be counted and it'll be helpful. And I'm going to ask you to seriously consider volunteering for Vacation Bible School. When things get tight around the house, Belinda gets worried about stuff, and it makes my life rough. So if you don't do it for anything else, do it for me. But seriously, whatever you can do in that regard, we appreciate it. And I think that's probably all I need to announce today. Oh, one other thing. WMU does not meet during the month of May. So if y'all can help prepare your mind and heart for worship, let's read this, please. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalms 150. Let's bow for prayer, please. Father, we thank You so much for today. We thank You for the opportunity to have to come to Your house. And Lord, we do want to praise You. We want to praise You today, Father. We just ask Your Spirit to be here with us today. Guide us and direct us. Be with Dennis as he brings the message. And we love You, Lord, and we thank You. In Christ's name, amen.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Psalms 104, stand and sing. He has made me glad.
House of the Lord. We are excited about praising the Lord today. We keep praying for revival, and we ask God that God will manifest Himself in our midst, that we will see hundreds of people come to know Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. A little more excitement this week. Amen. We're getting closer. Amen. So let us take just 1 minute to pray for those that are in our heart this morning.
Cindy.
Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come together and pray. Father, we pray for those folks who are part of our church family and those who are friends or relatives, and we want to lift them up to you right now, Lord. Father, will you do a miracle, Lord? Will you manifest yourself in a special way? Father, we thank you. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. Remember, if you have a prayer request or if you are here the first time or second time, please just take this out of the care card out of your bulletin and just put it in the offering plate. We'll be praying for you.
I invite you to have a seat for just a moment. This, of course, is our emphasis for Annie Armstrong, which is North American Board Missions, or if you grew up in Southern Baptist Church, the Home Mission Board. One of the things that we don't think about, it doesn't immediately come to mind when we think about home missions, but this is one of the, today's video talks about how we as Southern Baptist will minister to the men and women whose spouses are deployed with our armed forces. Mr. Cecil?
There's a saying in the Marine Corps that if the Marine Corps wanted you to have a wife, they would have issued you one in boot camp. My name's Brittany Brown. My husband Josh and I are planting a church that reaches the military in Statesbury, North Carolina. One thing we experienced moving around for 20 years in the military is you don't understand like the emotional stress that there is on the spouse. It's a different way of life.
My name is Andrea Manius, and I'm no superhero. When my husband was deployed last fall, our youngest, Gideon, I ended up delivering him a month early, and we had to be in the hospital, we had to be in the NICU, and during that time, like, we had to have help. Like, we have four other children at home that we can't just abandon. We don't have family that lives close to just step in and fill in the gaps.
The church really came around them and watched their other four kids while they were in the NICU for quite some time.
We had people that came and made meals and sacrificed an afternoon or a whole day, or just on the drop of a dime, we had people just come and spend the night. Just a drop, everything that they were doing so that they could come be here. That's huge. And as a mom, sorry, I didn't expect to cry, but as a mom, we have never experienced like the hands and feet of Jesus in that capacity.
And so when we ask why specifically plant near a military base, they need community desperately. And so it's a great opportunity to share the gospel with them because they're searching for that.
Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for which God has called me heavenward. Stand and sing Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way. You have been gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bow. God, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. The higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Scripture reminds us that God looks at the heart. Let's lay aside distractions and come before Him with hearts fully turned back to what matters most, loving God. Let's worship Him together.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you.
You may be seated. Isaiah 49:1 says, "Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name." God doesn't just save us, he calls us. Each of us has a purpose in his kingdom. Think about the ways he's been calling you. Let's worship him with hearts ready to respond to his call.
The Lord. The Lord is good all the time. God is good. I am excited today because I hope I don't make you hungry, but today we're going to be talking about one of the favorites in Scripture, and we have just came off the press last week on April 29. Southern Living gave us the top 10 desserts of the South. How about that? And so I have a few. I hope I don't make you hungry this morning. Or maybe you order this when you go eat today. But this is, they begin with, I don't have all of them here, but just a few. And the first one is pumpkin cheesecake. How many like that one? No, nobody like pumpkin cheesecake. Then the other one is, we have fruit cobbler. Fruit cobbler, peach, blueberry, blackberry. And then we got a few now. Now here I have some problems because I hear this in two different ways. Some people say pecan, and some people say pecan. So I'm still in the mix there. See which one is the best. And so how many of you like that one here? There's a few. There we go. And of course, this is the one all-time favorite here in the South. Banana pudding. Everybody raise their hand. There we go. His favorite. Well, the text this week is Philippians chapter 3, and we are going to read 3:12 through 14, and I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. Not that I have attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid off me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and glory. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. May you bless it. May you touch our hearts this morning as we, Lord, dive into your word. And Father, may someone today, Father, give their life to you. Or perhaps someone, Lord, you're going to bring them back, Father, to walk and to run this race again. Father, we thank you. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The church at Philippi was started by the Apostle Paul. This was his second missionary journey, and this was actually the first trip that he made with Silas. After the first team had a kind of a small split with John Mark and Barnabas, it all began in Troas as they were in what they call today modern Turkey. They were there, and they received the Macedonian call. And of course, this was the first church plant, as we are talking about, you know, church planting in our Latin moon, that it was the first church in Europe that was planted. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony, and it was a church that was very dear to the Apostle Paul. This church had given and received from him multiple times in the journey, according to Philippians 4:13. So he talks about this race. He talks about this race that we're in. He uses the analogy of a race. And you know, when we begin this race, first of all, this race, it's personal. It's personal. It says, for not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid on for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, not one by one thing I do. Anyway, there were six times Paul mentions I in these three verses. Three times, six times. In other words, this race that we're running in Christ is personal. It's personal. Each one has their own track. But we are running and we are moving forward. The Lord says that this is personal. It is singular. He uses first person singular. And so we are running this race personal. It's a personal race that we are doing, and we are following the Lord. And so he says in verse 14, he says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Of course, this race is not only personal, but also this race is not based on vocation or professional. It doesn't matter what career you're in. It doesn't matter if you are not do not have a job, a 9-to-5 job. It's a race for anyone who's been called by the Lord. Of course, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. He was what we would call, he would be bivocational. That's what he was. In Acts 18:1-3, it said that he met there in Corinth Priscilla and Aquila, and they stayed and worked together because they were tent makers. They were tent makers. So once you give your life to the Lord, you are in this race. You are in this race, and in the final destination, one day we will find it. Of course, this destination, also this race, has a starting point. It has a starting point. One day, you and I gave our lives to Christ. It's like the Boston Marathon. They just ran it, and it said it starts on Main Street in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. That's where it begins. It begins right there on Main Street. You know, for some people, this race began, you know, somebody had shared the gospel with you, maybe, you know, one time, and listen, sometimes people take multiple times in order to respond to the gospel. Sometimes it's not one time, it's not two times, sometimes it's multiple times. Sometimes people give their life to the Lord, you know, days after, month after. Sometimes it will be years after. But the important thing is that we need to share the gospel so people can begin the race. We got to share the gospel with people because there is a starting point. There is a starting point. I am reminded that when I gave my life to the Lord, I heard it multiple times. I used to sit in the back over there, but I didn't give my life to Christ in church. I didn't give my life to Christ in church. You know, I knew what I needed to do. I knew what I needed to pray. I knew the words. I knew everything. But I didn't give my life to Christ in a church. I actually prayed to receive Jesus in a nightclub in New Orleans. Can you imagine that? Hey, listen, God is everywhere. We got to share the gospel with people. We got to share the gospel so that they can begin the journey. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you are in the journey. I don't know where you are in your race today. I don't know if you're running. I don't know. Only God knows that. But listen, this race has a starting point. And where does it begin? It begins right there, like John 5:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." We have went from death to life. We are alive. Listen, if you gave your life to Jesus, you are alive. You're not dead, you're alive. Amen? I didn't have any coffee this morning, I apologize. At least not Cuban coffee. I'm changing to decaf to see what happens then. All right. So listen, we go from death to life, and you begin a new life. I don't have to worry about the rest. Listen, because Jesus, I am a new person. I am a new person. It begins when we give our lives to Christ. I am a new person. I am a new creation. And this is 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We are running a new race. We are running a new race. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. That's what we are. That's who I am. Listen, it is not whatever you did before that is past, is gone. Jesus has a new race for us to run, a new race, a new way to deal with things that come our way. And they come, listen, they come all the time. We are being bombarded, it seems like. They're always coming. But what are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? We're going to handle it in the new life that we have in Christ. We got to get to the room. We got to get to that room, and we need to lock that door, and we got to get before the Father and talk back to him again and pour out our hearts to him and say, Lord, all of this is happening. All of this is happening. Help me, Lord. Tell me what I need to do. For we have a new race. And listen, we have a new race. We are new creations. That means, so what is God really doing in our lives in this race that we are running? We are running the race, but what is God doing in this race? Well, the first thing that he's doing, he's perfecting us. Listen, as when we started, we're not the same as where we are now. We're not the same. You know, I've and some of you know that I've shared with you, I couldn't stand in front of two people. I couldn't stand all my life until I came to Christ. Oh, listen, I would mumble. My jaw will go up and down. My legs will do this, and then my hands will sweat. And I could not stand before two people. And look at what the Lord has done. It's incredible. I'm right here. I even feel like walking from one building to another building on a tightrope. In Fort Valley. Not Chicago, please. But what is God doing in this race? As you're running the race, as you're following the Lord, you know what he's doing? He's perfecting us. That's what he's doing. He's perfecting us. How do we know that? Well, Romans 8:28-29 tells us. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And look at that. To those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, when we start this race, there is a purpose. There is a purpose. You know, God is going to use us in special ways. Listen, sometimes to encourage somebody, sometimes to lift somebody up. It may be to just give a shoulder to someone so they can cry. Listen, God is going to use us because there is a purpose in the race. There is a purpose in the calling. God has called us. He's called us. And so he wants to use us. There is a purpose. And here is 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to do what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you see that? It means that God has predestined us to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. Listen, one day when we leave this body, we'll be completely transformed. Completely transformed. When somebody gives their life to Christ and they're running this race, one day we'll have a new body. And listen, he's working in our lives. It is totally different when you're not a believer. When things are happening in your life, it's because God is trying to get you to his arms because he loves you. He wants to give the best to you. But when you are ready in the race, God is conforming you to his image. So all things work together for good to those who love the Lord because he's beginning to perfect us. He's shaping us. He's molding us. Hey, listen, when we come to Christ, some of us are very impatient. How many are impatient? Please don't raise. Oh, two people. Okay, that's good. I'm in good company then. Good. Listen, and God begins to work in that area of your life. He's beginning to shape us and mold us. And trials come. And sometimes we don't understand why and how come and why it's all happening to me. And it seems like the more faithful you are, the more things are happening in our lives. Why? God is using all of those things for his glory. For his glory. It was asked of Jesus of that man who was blind. And in the mind of the Jewish mind, they said, wait a minute. Jesus said, his parents didn't sin and he did not sin. This is for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. God is shaping us. He's molding us. He's working in our hearts so that we can be conformed to the image of his Son. The second thing, of course, we're always under construction. When I was, we lived in Tifton, they were always working on 75. I said, are they ever going to finish? I would go through that road, you know, the interstate, day and night, and they were always working. And you say, that's what the Lord is doing in my life. He's always working in my life. He's always working in your life. He continues to work. Because even though we are complete in Christ, as Colossians 2:10 says, that we are complete in Christ, we're not perfect. We're always under construction. Because he's moving us in this race so that we can be conformed to the image of his Son. But God is also leading us to finish the race. If you see the word I press, says Paul in 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we are called to finish. We have been called to finish by God. He wants us to finish the race. He wants us to do it. He wants us to finish the finish line. Hey, it doesn't matter in this race who comes on first or who comes in third. The important thing is that we got to finish. We got to finish. You know why? Because God called us. God called us, and we have to finish. Things get tough, but we got to finish. Maybe we have to change our shoes, but we got to finish. We got to finish the race. Listen, the Lord is waiting for us. Finish your race. Finish your race. Get back on the race again. Serve the Lord again. Praise the Lord again. Oh, continue to seek the Lord. Oh, the Lord is good. We just say it, the Lord is good. He's good all the time. Finish the race. Get back. You can do it. You have been equipped to do it. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You need to finish the race. Finish your race. We are here to finish the race. We don't quit. We finish the race. It gets tough. The legs get heavy. The feet hurt. But we got to finish the race. I love when I come to church because I see people who are strong. And they're here. They could be in bed. They could be resting. They could be prompting their legs to get better circulation. But they're here because they understand that the race is not finished yet. The race is not finished yet. We may have things happen in our lives, but we got to finish the race. Our finish line ends when we depart this world. When we depart this world, we'll finally be able to say we have finished the race. Jesus said in John 14, 1, 2, and says, I am going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also will be. In Philippians 3, 20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven. That means we're just coming through here. In Matthew 22, 30, it says, for in the resurrection, neither marry, they won't be getting married nor given in marriage, but we will be like angels in heaven. We will be like angels in heaven. I don't have to worry about my weight anymore. Praise the Lord. I don't have to worry about limiting myself when I go to Golden Corral anymore. Praise the Lord. See, we don't have to worry about anything. Listen, we'll be like angels. That's what awaits us. I know it's tough. It gets tough. Oh, we got to finish the race. We got to finish the race that we started. We got to finish. We cannot give up. We got to say, Lord, you gave me this new life, and I'm going to finish. You got to be determined that you will finish the race. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Colossians 3, 1 says, put your sights on the things above. Keep your eyes on the things above. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord, not on people. You know, people will fail us. People will get on the side of the road and say, I don't want to quit. I don't want to continue anymore. But listen, you finish the race. You have to finish the race. You have to let go of some things. You have to let go of events and past experiences. If you look at the verse, in verse 13, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. We all have things in life, events and past situations that we need to leave behind. We need to cut them off. We need to look forward and see what God has for us, in store for us, up ahead. And there's nothing but great things ahead for us. There is praise in heaven forever. The Word of God says that heaven is a place to worship. It says that for 30 minutes, half an hour, there was silence. Can you imagine? We won't have this body. We won't be complaining. This is what awaits us. We must continue and finish the race. We cannot live our lives based on past things that have happened. Listen, we are imperfect. Things happen. People do things to us, and we do things to other people. But that cannot be a driving force. A driving force is to finish the race that God has in store for us. We got to finish our race. So what do we need to finish this race? What do we need? Well, first of all, we need endurance. We need endurance. We got endurance. We got to say, Lord, I'm going to finish. I'm going to start this, and I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish this. We need endurance. We are here for the long haul. We are here to finish the race. One day we look back and say and see so many things that happen in our lives, and we can look back and say, God was with me. God is right here with me. Just like he said, he's the Emmanuel. He's right here with me. He's never left me. He never forsake me. Just like he said in the word, he's right here with me. He's been good to me. How many of you can say that God has been good to you? Listen, we don't have the time to count the blessings today. Oh, if we had the time, we can count all the blessings. God has been good to us. We need to prepare ourselves mentally. We are going to finish this race. We're going to finish. I'm here to finish the race. I need to prepare myself. I need to prepare myself to be more godly, to be more patient. I need to prepare myself. I need to prepare myself physically. We need to prepare ourselves physically. You know, when I started in ministry, I never thought that this was a big issue. But now that I've been serving the Lord since 1991, I look back and I said, you know, Dennis, and I need to speak to myself, Dennis, you need to rest physically to finish this race. You need to rest. Sometimes when we don't rest, we're not the same. You know, we're like that commercial, like the Snickers commercial, you know. We're not yourself. And sometimes because we're not getting enough rest. We have to rest. We also need to learn to disconnect. Listen, we live in a busy world, and we need to learn to disconnect. Do something different. Listen, I tell you, I have proved it, and I have seen it in my own life. Every time I rest and I disconnect, listen, I'm a better servant. I'm walking better with Jesus. Please rest. Find time to rest. To rest your body. Find time to disconnect. My disconnect is my lawnmower. How many of you disconnect with the lawnmower? Amen. That is not a disconnect. It's my disconnect. And mine has two objectives. Kill mosquitoes because he has a lot of smoke. The neighbors know what I'm cutting their grass. There's Brother Danny's cutting the grass. There's no mosquitoes around this week. That's my disconnect. I love to do yard work. Do something totally different than what you normally do. Break the mold. Whatever you do, do something different. It may be reading a book. It may be going fishing. Disconnect. Listen, when you come home and you come and serve the Lord and you're running this race, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. Not only physical, we got to stay in shape. We got to stay in shape. Stay in shape. And you need to prepare yourself spiritually. You know that we are in a spiritual warfare. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he says, we are at war. We need to put the full armor of God. We are at war. Listen, the world doesn't like us. The devil doesn't like us because we belong to Jesus. But we got to stay in the Word. We got to stay in the Word. We need spiritual food because we are spiritual beings. Because Jesus lives in us. That's how we began the race. But now the soul, the spiritual in you needs food. And it needs good food. And there's no better food for the Christian than the Word of God. No better food. This morning I had for breakfast Lamentation. Not too much salt. Lamentations. All four chapters. So I'm ready for today. And then I read in my daily devotion, I read 1 Kings 16. See, you need spiritual journey. You need spiritual food for this journey. And God will give you the strength for the day. Maybe you want to go home and have a Psalms. Maybe you want to go home and read a small epistle like 2 John, or maybe 3 John, or maybe the book of Philemon. But you got to stay in the Word. We got to hear from the Lord. We got to hear from God that we when we confront things in life and they're coming at you, you'll be spiritually prepared. You said, come on, I'm ready. Come on, Monday, where are you? You know it's coming. And all that comes with it. But you need the Word of God for this journey. If you're going to finish the race, you need spiritual food. You need to hear from God. We all need to hear from God. What to do? What step to make? How fast to go? Maybe we're just going too fast. Maybe we're not going fast enough. Maybe we're going too slow. He'll tell you. He will tell you. He will strengthen. We need healthy nutrition. You know, sometimes you need to put some hymns. Sometimes, you know, one of those favorite hymns that we love, favorite songs. I have something called, on my phone, Spotify. We share as a family. And you know it's praise, and you put praises, and you can put your own list, your favorite list, and you can continue having a time of praise. We get bombarded with things, and we get overloaded. Listen, when we begin to praise the Lord and we thank the Lord and we give glory to God and we praise God, not just on Sunday, but listen, in the comfort in our homes and in our vehicles, we need to put some praises and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe when we get to a stop sign, we can roll the window and we can praise the Lord. Amen? Hey, say, those folks are from First Baptist. Look at them. They're all putting the window down and praising God. Sometimes we need that. We need to praise the Lord. We all need to praise the Lord. Psalm 150 says, let anything, everything that breathes, praise the Lord. Amen? We need to praise the Lord. Exalt him. Get a song and praise the Lord. You got the word of God. You're praising the Lord. You're walking, you're running this race that God has given you. You cannot live your life based on past things that happened 20 years ago. If we got things that we are running with that are heavy on us, we must let it go. We must let it go. We must get in the closet and we must talk to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what happened. You know what happened. You were there. You saw it. And I decided in my heart to let it go right now. Because I have to finish the race. I got to finish the race. We all have experience. We all have scars that are in our hearts and experiences, bad experiences that we all have had, whether at work, even at family, or somebody hurt you. Listen, we got to move on. We have to move on. For heaven awaits us. New body awaits us. We must learn to move on. Must look forward. We can learn from our past, but we have to move on. We have to move on. What happened? Happened. We got to move on. Has passed. We learn and we move forward. Perhaps you're here today and you're not running the race anymore. You stopped somewhere. Well, this is what I say. The Lord woke us up today. It means that he wants us to continue running again. We're not here by coincidence. It is God's purpose that we're here. He has a purpose for all of us. And he wants us to finish this race. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we give you all honor and all the glory. Father, we present ourselves before you as runners. We began this race the day that you came to live in our lives. Father, you know how we are. You know everything about us. And we choose and we desire to finish this race. Perhaps you're here today and you say, I just need to get back. I just got to get back. I have to get back. The Spirit of God is working in your heart right now. Perhaps you haven't started the race yet. Perhaps today is the day that you respond to the love of Christ. God loves you, and he wants to give you a new life. A new life. Maybe today is the day of salvation. Or perhaps you have been inactive and you will say, Lord, I got to finish. You expect me to finish this race. I'm going to do it because you are with me. Maybe you're here today and you want to make that commitment to the Lord. As the praise team leads us, please look at me.
Stand and sing with us, just as I am.
Brother Vic, please, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?